Black Lives Matter has certainly dominated the headlines. If you ask the average American, do you think Black Lives Matter? Many of them would say yes. I'm certainly in that number. So is our guest. But that doesn't mean that we support the radical organization by the same title. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Scott Powell of the Discovery Institute. And he's even written about this recently. He is widely syndicated in his columns. He's also an author of a couple of books. Scott, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Sure. Okay, first of all, the organization itself, Black Lives Matter, I understand it's as old as maybe 5 or 6 years old. I mean, it's not old at all.
Well, it goes back. It was founded right after the Trayvon Martin incident.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's about, I would guess that's six or seven years ago.
Yeah.
But what most people don't realize is that there is an ideology behind Black Lives Matter, and the Democratic leadership that empowers BLM or Black Lives Matter, and it's called critical race theory. And critical race theory is an integral part of the Democrat strategy to establish a new normalcy in every institution, from public schools to all government agencies.
Okay,
and it's really
what is critical race theory?
Critical race theory is really, it is a neo-Marxist theory that emphasizes the guilt of the white race and the empowerment of the black race. But it is not really consistent with the civil rights movement, because the civil rights movement, of course, emphasized the empowerment of black people based on their character. That, of course, was the line of Martin Luther King, who said that he looked forward to the day when we would live in a colorblind society where people would be judged by their character and not the color of their skin.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Lives Matter is really a regressive philosophy, stressing the importance of the race, and with no emphasis at all on the character of the people. And in fact, the Black Lives Matter people, as we all know, you know, have conducted themselves in such a way that has disrupted and destroyed property, disrupted our, you know, city life in many places. So it really needs to be understood in its total context.
Well, as an example, I can think of a month or two ago in Chicago, when some of the best shops in the city were being destroyed and damaged and all this vandalism and looting, and one of the city officials or somebody said, well, you can't blame them for looting. This is a form of reparations, as in, okay, this person's ancestors may have been enslaved, you know, in the Deep South 150 years ago, and therefore they're making up for it by stealing this nice jewelry from, you know, this fancy shop. I mean, I don't, that doesn't seem connected to me, but that's what they said.
Well, it's really if the end is reparations, and the modern radical movement is built on Saul Alinsky's theories that the ends justify the means. So looting is not morally reprehensible in the context of Black Lives Matter. It is a matter of getting back some of what they deserve.
Now, I understand that. Yeah, go ahead. Were you finished?
Even though it's a fundamental violation of the law, you know, we are a country based on the rule of law. And even if one is sympathetic to this cause or that cause, many of the Black Lives Matter issues, or be it environmentalism, or take any issue at all, you still have to carry out the objectives within the law of the United States. You can't violate the law to get your end. That leads to chaos, and that's what we're facing in many cities in America.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that the critical race theory and intersectionality and other Marxist philosophies, which they hold in common with Black Lives Matter and so forth, but some of these things have been going on in re-education classes for federal employees, And when a friend of mine tweeted about that, he said, wow, this is just right out of Chairman Mao's playbook.
It really is. This is why this is a Marxist movement. There are ties to the Chinese Communist Party. There's certainly support from, you know, the international communists, and particularly the Chi-Coms, as they say, because this is this harms America. And, you know, they are now our enemy, really. They want to see the United States decline, and they want to see their country rise, relatively speaking.
Isn't it interesting, too, when you think about it, the ascendancy of the whole Black Lives Matter, of course, it happened with the death of George Floyd at the hands of the police. And there's a backstory there, too, in terms of, well, did the drugs cause him not to be able to breathe so well? I mean, I've seen video before he was down on the ground and, you know, that policeman put him in that chokehold, which was terrible. Everybody saw that 8 minutes.
Well, we're not really even sure it was a chokehold.
Well, whatever it was. But
it
that
was
part...
George Floyd who asked to go on the ground.
Wow.
He was in the back of the police cruiser, and he was having a hard time breathing, you know, sitting up in the back of the cruiser, and he said that he wanted to get on the ground.
Oh, wow.
He requested it.
That part I didn't even know. Well, in any event...
This is all coming out, and that's why, you know, the rush to judgment in this country really needs to stop. You really have to let all the information come out, and it isn't readily available sometimes for days and weeks.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you look at the example of Don't Ask, Don't Shoot. That turns out to be a total fabrication, and yet that fabrication from 2014 is still with us today. There was a huge group of woke folks that have kind of a new religion in Portland, Oregon, and they were lighting candles and they were all singing hands up, don't shoot, along the lines of, you know, protesting police brutality, as if you're a black person in America, then watch out because you could just walk down the street and then you will be, you know, you, even though you're totally innocent, you will be subjected to police brutality. But here's the thing that I want to ask you. All of this stuff came about in the wake of the pandemic. It was because of the China virus, as Trump calls it, the Wuhan virus. We know it came from there, and we know that China allowed flights from Wuhan to other parts of the world, but China did not allow flights from Wuhan, once this pandemic broke out, to other parts of China. That alone makes them culpable for some of this responsibility of this terrible scenario that's happened. Okay, so we go through this massive shutdown in America, March, April, May, June, and the end of May, and then comes the rioting because of the death of George Floyd, May 25. I mean, this is like a scenario out of hell.
It really does. But remember, there was there were what we might call a warm-up exercise or a trial run during the Obama years, where there were issues in Missouri, in Baltimore. You can probably remember the names of some of the individuals, can't you, Jerry?
Well, in Baltimore, Freddie Gray.
Freddie Gray.
In Ferguson, it was Michael Brown.
That's right.
And Bill Fetter, who's been a common guest on this program, said George Soros funded in Ferguson back in 2014 a whole bunch of the rioters. So go on.
Well, I believe he's continued to fund the rioters. I mean, these people are paid, and the logistics of Black Lives Matter are incredible. They have a fleet of several dozen brand new buses to, you know, ferry the individuals from city to city, and also to bring along all the things that they use to disrupt the urban life. It isn't just a peaceful protest anymore. You know, there are things thrown, and you know, thank goodness we don't. You know, we haven't seen a lot of use of arms, but I think we need to be on guard that would be the next step.
And we know that some police have been killed deliberately,
yes,
you know, in the last few months. We know that at least 3,000 policemen have been injured and many are seeking early retirement.
Oh, it's just when you need you know, to restore law and order, we have the police being defunded. And then you have to ask yourself, well, what is the impact of all of this on police departments nationwide? You know, recruiting has obviously become more difficult, and the quality of people that may be recruited to join the police may not be as good as it used to be, because the quality people may make other choices. You know, we need to support our men in blue. They are putting their lives on the line for all of us and for our safety. And they're heroes, really. And to besmirch them as Black Lives Matter does is just, it's not only unpatriotic, it is very harmful.
Okay, why is it that Marxism is alive and well on planet Earth when it's been proven to be such a failure and it has such a miserable track record in terms of human misery and murders and deaths and everything bad?
You're absolutely right, Jerry, but young people who are idealistic, who don't know history, they can be easily manipulated and really brainwashed in some cases into supporting what is ostensibly a good cause. Everyone is for racial equality.
Well, not everyone, and that's part of the problem.
I won't say everyone, but yeah. Most Americans applaud the accomplishments of Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. Remember, you know, we started out with the Declaration of Independence in 1776, declaring everyone being equal. But, you know, some years later, when the Constitution was formed, it was formed with Southern states that had institutionalized slavery. But the states would not have joined together had slavery been an issue. But they recognized that it was necessary to end slavery, and so there was a clause put in the Constitution to end slave trade by 1808. But even then, things were slow, and of course, we all know the Civil War took place over two issues, secession of the Southern states and the issue of slavery. And that it was our bloodiest war. Talk about reparations. The price that it was paid to free black people from their slavery status is an unbelievable price. It's the greatest price that America has ever paid. You could add up all the deaths in all the other wars, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, all the wars in the Middle East, and you have fewer deaths than the lives lost in the Civil War. It was some 640,000 Americans lost their life so that black people could be emancipated from slavery and we could do away with slavery. That is an incredible price to pay.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and these were white people.
Yeah, for the most part, I mean, there were some black soldiers, but
yes, there were blacks,
but not to the same kind of statistics.
But the vast majority of the soldiers were white.
Mm-hmm. So,
in any
case, yeah, go ahead.
Well, so I'm just simply saying that, you know, the story of America is one of redemption. You know, it takes time for social justice to be realized, and it took. You know, we started with a Declaration of Independence that promised equality. It was semi-realized through the Civil War, but then there were Jim Crow laws, and it was separate but equal. And it took the Civil Rights Movement 100 years later to realize full equality for blacks. And since that time, you know, many blacks have absolutely thrived. They've achieved the highest, the highest positions in government, in the private sector, in sports and entertainment. They dominate in many cases relative to their population. And so, so much has been accomplished. Why do we not celebrate what's been accomplished instead of trying to regurgitate the racial strife of the past?
Now, that's a great point. Dr. William Donahue of the Catholic League had a column where he said, as far as reparations are concerned, now exactly how much do I owe Oprah Winfrey? Okay, Scott Powell, thank you so much for being with us, and your stuff can be seen at discovery.org. Thanks so much for being with us, Scott.
Thank you, Jerry.
Sure. Bye-bye now.